for joining us today. We've received an incredibly positive response to our interview series with our senior leaders, and as they share their subject matter expertise and knowledge. So these sessions are being recorded, and they're shared with our members here, both in New Zealand but internationally. So it's a great opportunity to tell the New Zealand cooperative story. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Rob Sharkey, who's CEO of Rural Co, one of our largest agri-retail cooperatives here in New Zealand. Welcome, Rob.
G'day, Ros. How are you? Good day.
Good. Great to have you. Thanks for being with us.
No, thank you.
So, pleasure. So, Rob, tell us about yourself. Tell us a bit about Rural Co and what your vision is for the cooperative.
What is gold? Okay, I don't want to talk about myself too much, but I'll give a bit of an overview. I've been in the stock and station industry for, dare I say, 40 years this year. So with Wrightson's back in the early days, and spent mid-90s with what is Farmlands now, sorry, with CRT back in the mid-90s for 5 years, and then moved on from them back to Wrightson's again, actually, and then through working for myself for a period with a small business, which I was a part owner in, and then back to ATS, which is the parent, Ashburton Trading Society, which is the parent company of Rural Co back in about 6 years ago. The reason for that being I moved on, the two times I've moved on with businesses, more about the people piece. I had some frustrations through there, so I voted with my feet, very principled in that perspective. And I was, the 5 years I was with Haslett's, which is a business I was part owner in as well, was good, but I was missing the people aspect. So I went from sort of 300 staff down to none, or to one or two, and I was missing the people piece. So for me, I was about giving back to the industry, which has been very good to me. So that's really me, I suppose. I live in Macho Acres, home for me, at the top of South Island. Previously moved south through my career, and currently live in North Canterbury, but obviously our business, Rural Co, is based in Ashburton. And obviously, as we've grown our business itself, where people are domiciled becomes less important, and to find the right people, hence some of our people are remote from this area as well. Rural Co is a business. So Rural Co itself was formed out of the parent company of Ashburton Trading Society Ashburton Trading Society itself was 1963, so 50 odd years old or better now, close to 60 years old. And we sold part of our business in a joint venture with Ravens actually about 8 years ago. And we bought that back about 6 years ago when I came on board as a GM for farm supplies for Rural Co, or ATS at that point it was. So we had two brands. We had ATS as one brand and Rural Co, which is our card business. So we bought those together back in about 4 or 5 years ago now, 4 years ago, when I took over as the CEO. The incumbent CEO moved on and I took over, and we brought that brand together to give us the opportunity to compete or to participate nationwide, more to the point. Ashburton Trading Society in its name itself, very, very localised, and Mid-Canterbury is our powerhouse, and we'll never lose sight of that piece, but we need to grow our business to look for the next opportunity. So our business is, as I say, the powerhouse is Mid-Canterbury, but we've obviously progressed and trading right through New Zealand and have been for the last number of years, but more so in the last 4 or 5 years. We're just playing in areas where there's an opportunity for us and people looking for some options as well. We are one of the last co-ops that didn't join up with the big machine, and we're stuck in our own business and very clear on doing that. So we've got aspirations to be dealing with quarter of a million New Zealanders by 2035 in our vision, farming families, and just growing that progressively as we move through there. So that's a bit about our business, I think, Ross. Anything else you want out of there?
No, that's great. When you say the big machine, I'm assuming you're talking about farmland?
That's right, yeah. So basically, as farmers and aggregate of all those smaller co-ops didn't join together, and at this stage, our board or our members have elected to stay in their own backyard, and rightly so. It's working well, but in saying that, we're all doing the same thing, all for the greater good of the farming industry, which is what we're all about. But our farmers like what we do, and we want to take that what we do locally to a wider audience as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I guess as a business or as a cooperative, you know, Rob, what do you see as the key issues that you're currently trying to address?
Look, for us, I suppose, Roz, it's relevance. You know, we're quite an intergenerational business, I suppose. You know, we've been around for nearly 60 years now, I suppose, at this point in time. And we've got to try and excite and delight the next generation at the end of the day. You know, so relevance is the big key for us. We've had an extremely loyal client base in Mid-Canterbury. But obviously, as the next generation comes through, they want different things. So we have to learn to engage with, 18-year-olds that want to use all the technology. And again, conversely, 80-year-olds who want to use that technology as well. And 18-year-olds that want to do business the old way. So you have to be very flexible how you do that scenario and probably not be close to one way or another. So relevance is the main piece. Helping our farmers navigate, obviously, what is a very regulated environment now as well, and they're heading towards, and probably give them the demystify. I mean, the agricultural inputs industry was quite simple back in the 80s, you know, or earlier. You know, you had about four or five grass variety types. You had a couple of three chemicals, but now it's so broad now. And really for us, it's about providing solutions for the farmers that they don't have to go weed through all the information, because it's quite a minefield. I mean, and the old AgChem manual book used to be this big. Now it's, you know, it's a monster basically. So all those things is about our operation. And for that, we employ what I think are very, very astute people wanting to learn, wanting to grow along with their farming clients. And people's, from my perspective, is the most important part of our business. Our staff are key to what we do.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I guess the thing that's front of mind for everyone right now is the whole piece around COVID. And what's interesting for many of our members, you've been highlighted as pretty much the majority of you are classified as essential services. You know, how are you within Ruralco, how are you actually navigating the latest alert level changes? And obviously you've got different alert levels that you're having to deal with as well.
Absolutely. So basically, this is my first day back in the office today. I'm down at level two now. And obviously, as an essential service, as you said, Roz, we've taken that as a very, very serious opportunity for us as well, for it to carry on. As I've said in the past, you know, farming doesn't stop. Cows still calve on the 10th of July and lambs still come on the 15th of September. So things still move on. And that's been really good for us to be able to still provide those services. Probably this lockdown, this time has been... The transition's been simpler, but it's been quite disruptive as far as being those short bursts. Last time we knew we're going to be out for a period of time, this has been sort of quite sporadic and the information coming through. So it's been a bit tricky to work with. 3 weeks, I think, is where we're up to now. And our staff went up home on the Tuesday 3 weeks ago, and the rules changed that night, and we got things under control. So we're just transitioning now back from that sort of through level four to three and to two now. So we have obviously clients back in our building now, which is another change as those changes come through. We've fortuitously for us, as I said, things carry on. Spring this time is a bit more difficult compared to when we had lockdown last time, going to the autumn, which is traditionally a bit slower. So obviously the demand for product advice and service ramps up through that spring period, which adds to some challenges. As a business, fortuitously, we carry quite a deep inventory, deep and broad, which allows us to maintain supply for our customers. But things are getting tight, and some customers are having to, I suppose, swap their preferred brand out for other things now as well. So it's just about working through. Communication is a big thing, and keeping that that dialogue going.
That's great. And I guess with regards to COVID, it does make a lot of our organisations aware that they need to future-proof their businesses. For you with Ruralco, what are you doing in terms of future-proofing your business?
Look, we've got a strategy out to 2035 now, which encompasses all those thought pattern. And obviously for us, it's 2035 is a long way away. So you have to have something to work towards. And we're just... looking at our business, what we do with it, where we head with it, and I suppose where we end up being domiciled as time goes on, what we do with some parts of our business. and looking to adapt as well. So, I mean, obviously, last time with our charge card business, obviously, the travel industry was a big part of that last time as well. That all disappeared overnight, obviously, as you can imagine. But that was compensated by other things as well. And we've seen through that side as well, the farmers spending on other things, like sort of, you know, renovations, repairs and maintenance as well. So you've just got to keep on working through that whole part of the business. You know, obviously our card fuel business gets a bit of a beating through this time of the year. There's no vehicles on the road, but obviously the bulk fuel carries on because farmers are doing work. So you just got to keep on, you have to be quite flexible. You have to be not too strict in what where you're heading towards. And that's where the benefit or the opportunity with us is that we are a reasonably small team in comparison, and we can change the rules within a short window of time and recalibrate and get our direction organised. That's been, we're able to do that by having a very supportive board as well. And a supportive, informed and wanting to support our business and us as individuals at the same time.
That's great. And I mean, what I'm hearing here, it's about being flexible, having a breadth of product, but also being able to be nimble and move quickly. So it's all good messaging.
And listen to what your customer wants, you know, over communicate. You know, there's no substitute for that.
No. Hey, obviously you're a cooperative, and the Rochdale principles are very fundamental to how you operate. One of the ones that we are always keen to talk to our members about is that whole one around collaboration and cooperation. How does RuralCo effectively apply that?
Well, I suppose the luxury, Roz, is that probably 3 or 4 years ago, I think my previous CFO won that award with Co-op New Zealand, with the cooperation amongst cooperatives, and we do that as much as we can. We've quite even earlier on the piece just recently as well with the industry's had a bit of an issue with magnesium supply for dairy cows. And on the back of with the Dairy NZ, they brought ourselves, Farmlands, Farm Source and PGW together to discuss that. So that's an ongoing piece, which is really, really, really useful for the greater good of the industry. So I'm always an advocate of what's good for the industry as collectively as well, not just my business. And we have interactions, obviously, with our charge card business with the likes of Mitre 10, they're a big customer of ours as well. So we're working together on a regular basis. We'd like to do more, obviously, that's an opportunity. Obviously, our business, we have a farm supplies business, we have a fuel business, fertilizer business, a charge card business, and seed business as well. And that's all part of what we do. So, you know, definitely the charge card, access to fuel discounts is worthwhile as well. For other members.
That's great.
Further there.
So we need to set up a few more cooperatives to enable supply to you.
I think it's a system that feeds itself. It's a little bit like the, you know, the cafe in the middle of a city. When city's thriving, it doesn't actually need any customers per se. It's an ecosystem that feeds itself. So creating an ecosystem for the business to work collectively with like type people is an essential way of doing things. And I think whilst you run your own business, and again, I with my competitor business on every day, a daily basis, that I'm interested in what they're doing and interested to help where I can for the greater good. And that's a big part. I think we all need to get, and probably COVID's helped us to realise that, you know, we have to work together for the greater good for everybody on the planet.
I actually, it's been really interesting from our end, because we've seen a lot of that collaboration spirit come through, and your comment about cooperatives being an ecosystem. You know, we look at that whole ecosystem, let's say with an Alliance or a Silver Fern farm or a Fonterra farm, and then all of the cooperatives that sit around that. And so you're very symbiotic in terms of how you engage with each other. So it's really quite special and unique. I guess the other thing that obviously is really fundamental to the co-op construct is shareholder engagement. How do you keep your shareholders engaged?
Again, it's a constant, I say, battle. Getting people to read stuff sometimes is hard work. But we have obviously our print, social, email, and obviously direct connection with our clients as well is a big part. For me personally, I enjoy engaging at all opportunity with our customers. And obviously we run several events in the course of the year when COVID allows us, of course, like some, you know, AMP shows, and we attend a lot of the AgFest in the West Coast. We have events in house here. We're a major sponsor of Long Beach Challenge in Mid Canterbury. We have events for our customers, which is about that constant. So it's not one way of doing it. It has to be multiple, and has to be regular as well. You can't take your foot off the throat there. You've got to keep on moving along with that piece and really give that good information. We provide a lot of one of our biggest regular publications is our Real Farm magazine, which encompasses all things agricultural, basically, not just about our business. It's about bringing like-type people together, and that's about showcasing other co-ops where we can, where we work together, and also showcasing great farming practices and great farming families as well. That's a really good publication, which is obviously available online. We distribute that to about 35,000 farming properties now, and it's a sought-after document.
Well, that's fantastic. Just before we wrap it up, you know, from your side, Ruralco, what do you see as the main benefits of being a cooperative as opposed to a corporate?
I think it's that inherent ownership that the customer has of the business. They actually care. Our customers are very communicative. They support our business. They ensure they actually care about us as well as we do them. And you know, one of our sort of vision statements is supporting the success of rural New Zealand. We have to do that. That's our business. And I think the whole thing is that we are all part of the greater good. So like I say, with us, whilst we have our business, our customers engage with, you know, Fonterra, Silver Fern, all those businesses as well, so, which is a big part of the whole process. So I think if we all work together for the farmer, we will get a better result for all of us and the broader co-op business as well. So
that's fantastic. Hey, Rob, any final words you'd like to offer before we wrap it up?
Look, I think this is a fun business to be in. It's a fun industry to be in. It's been very good to me over the years, and I want to give back to it, and I want to support where I can. So I'm happy to engage anybody about, if anyone wants anything deeper about what we do as a business, happy to talk to them through that scenario and share what we do. We don't always get it right. We try. We work as hard as we can. We have a lot of fun doing it. And the key piece is look after your people. You know, that's internal and external. When I'm going to say external, I'm saying, you know, our bankers, our external suppliers, lawyers, the whole lot has come together. It is that ecosystem. We can't operate together, we will fail. And the co-op ethos allows you to do that. It just gives you a little bit different view on life that whilst running a business being profitable is important, it's running a business which is has longevity, relevance, and supports everybody else is more important to it, I think. So that's what I see it.
No, that's fantastic. I really appreciate that, Rob. Hey, well, thanks for your time. And these sessions are fantastic in terms of allowing our senior leaders to share your insights and knowledge. For those of you wanting to engage with individuals such as Rob or our broader network, encourage you to get in contact with Cooperative Business New Zealand. And if you are looking at establishing a business utilising the cooperative business model, again, we're here to support you to do that. As you'll be aware, cooperatives sit across multiple sectors. Rob's obviously come from the retail background, but you know, it's they're very broad, and so there's lots of opportunities to utilise the model, and they are very critical to the New Zealand economy as we navigate COVID and look to the future. So just want to thank everyone for joining us, and kia kaha.